It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning. Declare your independence once again with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time from freedomsphoenix.com studios. It's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. And those of you back east don't know how to spell Phoenix, P-H-O-E-N-I-X. I get that a lot, too. Oh, man, I would have been there, but I couldn't spell phonics. Yeah, well, I'll help you out there. Now, from here in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a lot always going on. Now, of course, I do hear a lot from around the country. They're going, Ernie, you know, why do you always talk about Arizona all the time? Because that's what's happening, man. That's where we're at. And, you know, a lot of stuff you see in the news comes to me. You want to know why? I tell you why. Because we're on it. Now, the thing is that what I want to make sure that you know about one thing. There is a lot of stuff that's going to come out in the next week or two, and I kind of warned the audience yesterday, if you're home over Labor Day and had a chance to listen to the show, I just gave you some general things coming up and different stuff and how we roll. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson on a gun rights thing that we've been on this for a long time. I started, Safe Second Amendment is for Everyone, for a concealed carry initiative we did that eventually turned into law and so on, and I didn't even own a gun. Do I have to? I have to be a gunny? You know, I was out shooting and spending money and ammunition. I was poor, but I understood the principle. You know, it's this libertarian thing. I go, yeah, of course, when they take, my father had, plenty of guns. Whenever I needed one, was doing something, going camping or going somewhere, if I knew, I'd go get it, if I felt threatened or anything. But I wasn't so felt threatened by bad guys as much as I did from the bad guys. They're going to take away my ability to defend myself. And then when it really became obvious in the 90s that that's exactly what they were going to do, they were expecting people to obey the law and the spirit of the law and the spirit of the law. We had, it was Boxer or Feinstein at California, really went on 60 Minutes, said, well, the people are violating the spirit of the law. We wanted less guns. Well, duh. And that's why they went and bought them, dummy. It's just, they don't even live in the real world. So there was an incident that happened here. It was an activist thing that we've done. When we come back, I'll get into it, and I'll tell you what happened. And this is a progression. Now, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I meet with the Phoenix Police Department again, and we're going to be talking about some – I'm not really sure what they want to talk to me about, but, they wanted – I genuinely think they just want to keep lines of communication open, and we be buds and everything. And we're going to inform them of something that we're doing that they're definitely going to want to be interested in, and we are going to – rarely do I ever do this. Never in 20 years. I mean, I hate to say never, but I'm telling you, I can't think of a single instance. I make great efforts not to do this. When I know something, you know it. I put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. There was a thing. It was called Update ErnestHancock.com. It was an initial email list I had when I first started my show back in 2003. And what happened is, as I knew stuff that was happening, boom, I put it up. Because then I wasn't a threat. And I go, yeah, and go take out, 5,000 of my closest friends, too, because we all know the same thing. Well, I know, so I'm taking a risk. And I got another, 4 hours before I'm safe. Think I'll make it? Yeah, I will. I'll be right back. I'll tell you all, maybe not all about it, but I'll give you a little taste. We'll be back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah! Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, we're just, you know, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. And let me tell you, I put up on the site, you know, I have this one standard article that I put up, and it's called, you know, Another Day to Watch. Nancy, and all it is just links to gold, silver, the S&P, the Dow, the London Stock Exchange, and, you know, the 30-year treasury, okay? Because these things are all linked and, you know, and a lot faster than people realize. They make policy decisions on one thing, interest rates and availability, money supply and buying debt and everything, and it just has an impact. Well, gold went over $1,005 and everything. But I put on, I said, you watch. They can't allow that to happen. They just can't. They just can't. So all of a sudden, boom, man, it's going down. Silver's taking a dump. It was 1680 something. Heck, just a, you know, what was it? You know, it was like $13 and something a couple weeks ago. It's like, you know, $3 or something it went up. And I mean, you know, and I don't pay much attention to it. I mean, not like one of those, you know, minute by minute guys. I kind of check it in the morning, you know, whatever. And because I know whatever extra money I got, I'm buying silver anyways. I'm like, hey, push it down again, man. I got some more money. So what happened is you have the gold exchange. And here I'm trying to get it to come up. The gold, it was up to, let's push the button. Oh, they didn't turn it off. Okay, it was at, whoa, what the heck? Oh, I guess it was like 1,008 or something. Woo-wee. And now it's down to $9.95. So it went down like $12. You know, all of a sudden just boom. Took a nice little dump there. Because if you look at the records on daily track, every day I'll look at this, it happens when it hits Western countries like London, especially New York, when it hits the New York Stock Exchange, all of a sudden, boom, it gets pushed down before the end of the day. It's in the Asian countries, you know, it's going up, 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 down, up, 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 down when it hits Western. Why? Because China is buying gold, you know. They said, gimme, 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 gimme. And it's just driving it up. And they're holding it down. They're pushing it down. They're, you know, trading futures at a low, you know, playing their low games because they can't. They're the banks. Well, what happened was last week, China goes to London and says, you know, all our gold that we got in your vaults there, we bought and everything, you know, we want the Midas touch. We want to feel it. We want to roll around in it. We want to stroke it, and we want it in our banks. So ship them bad boys on over. Now, how they do that, I don't know. I'm sure they put them on 747 one shipment for all I know. But the thing is they want their gold. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Well, that's what's happening. Okay, they're shipping. You know, China's, we want it right here. So that's what's going on. Then, but we saw this a couple of years ago. There was in United Arab Emirates, Dubai. Yeah, I think Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates. And what they had done, they had opened up their first stock exchange or gold exchange, commodity exchange. And all of a sudden, all these people that were buying futures. We're not just trading. You know, you send them into another contract. You go, okay, well, here's my 2009 September gold, and I'm going to sell that and make it April 2010. You know, I mean, they just sell it. And they never actually take possession. Well, then they were doing it by the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. They're going, you know, they're just taking possession. They're going, yep, back up my big UPS truck, you know, to your loading dock, load her up. Well, maybe we have it, maybe we don't, you know? I mean, this is what's going on. You watch. It's going to get ugly, and it's going to happen. You know, a lot of people say, you know, they just keep dragging this out, and they keep dragging it out. It won't happen, you know, all at once. I mean, you'll see all the signs. It's obvious what's going on. I mean, you'll look in retrospect 10 years from now, and you'll go, duh. You know, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. I mean, it'll just, you'll see it, you know, coming and coming, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning, bam! I mean, bam! You know, bam! Upside the head. Got your chickens? And you think I'm kidding, man? We know this is coming. So why? I mean, there's no reason to get all nutted up about it. You know, just prepare a little bit. You know, I got toilet paper to trade for everything rest of my life. I got plenty of toilet paper. I told my wife, I said, let me tell you what. You get a bunch of feminine napkins and tampons and stuff and all this kind of, you know, these cosmetics and toiletries and so on. And make sure I get a lot of toilet paper. And don't buy the cheap stuff. I want some good stuff. You know, I'm going to be able to trade for some Crown Royal or something, you know. and a friend of mine is buying a bunch of Crown Royal. All right, well, anyway, so watch the stock market and so on. You go to freedomsphoenix.com now, freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, and you can go and just look at these things, and you'll see, and there's other charts. I mean, you do the daily charts. You know, that's what's interesting. Whenever, you know, the gold's starting to go, boom, it opens the stock, New York Stock Exchange, they hammer it down. They, them, those. I don't know, whoever can do it. You know, it just happens. Because they can't. Now, one thing I want to talk to you about today is, you know, so you understand that there is a long pedigree of a lot of the activism that we do. Excuse me a second. There we go. Now I'm talking. Now, what they do is, it's a battle for minds. And if you understand that, then it's easier for you to understand how we're going to... Jet knows, give me water, man. Thank you. So the thing is that there is a battle going on for your compliance, your mind, your attitude, your mood even. I mean, you know, you have Obama, he'll go up, you see the speech, and it's all, you know, Tom Westbrook put up an article today, and he read it and I guess saw it somewhere or something, and basically it comes down to this. Stay in school, take your responsibilities, you know, to your country, of course, and, you know, like paying taxes and stuff, you know, stay in school so you can be a good little slave, you know, yeah, you can't do anything unless you stay in school and, you know, responsibility to what? To who? Now, yourself, your family, to the man, to the government, to your debt. It's not my debt. I didn't do it. You know, I'm 3 years old. I so didn't do it. My little granddaughter, just born, you take that backpack off, I ain't paying it. Okay? Oh, no. No. I'm going to teach you about your responsibility. You know, it's a psyop. So the one thing that I wanted to, you know, there's something that's coming up. There's a bunch of stuff, and this is something different than, you know, the big giant secret. Ooh, my goodness. You know, I'm going to tell you tomorrow, but... The one thing that so you get an understanding. I'm going to walk you through some activism that we did here in Phoenix and how it's building up to what's coming, so that you'll understand. Because the bad guys, you know, in the courts down and wherever, they don't listen to this show, you know, and you know, you gotta tell them, and even if you told them, they wouldn't understand it anyway. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're like, we go like this. We call it Billy Jacking. There's a movie called Billy Jack, and it was about a Native American in northern Arizona. It was a Green Beret, comes back to corruption in his town, Prescott, or whatever, and the sheriff, and they finally, towards the end of the movie, they're standing in the square, which, by the way, is this Friday, that same square, I give a speech for a 9/11 thing, the big deal they're doing up in Prescott. So I'll be up there this Friday. In that same square, you know, I'll bring this up. This would be a good part of the speech. You know, you go up, and he goes up to the sheriff, and he looks at him, and they're facing each other, and he goes, you know, I'm going to take the right side of my right foot, and I'm going to bring it around the right side of your head, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, bam! I'm like, ooh, that was good. Now, the thing was, this is in the 70s, you know, and Billy Jack, we had him on the radio show a couple of years ago. He was doing another documentary movie about, you know, kind of after Aaron Russo's thing, America from Freedom to Fascism. And if you looked him up, Billy Jack, I can't remember what his real name is. But anyway, so he had a movie that was coming out they were doing in the middle of, and we talked to him and everything. That was very interesting. That was a treat for me. But and it was on Charles' show. Well, what happened is that kind of inspired us to have kind of a code word with a lot of us activists. They go, oh, you meet with them? What are you going to do? And I go, I'm going to Billy Jack them. And they know what that means. They go, no, look, we're just going to tell them what we're going to do. There's nothing they can do about it. And they can prepare and they'll take sides and whatever. You know, then here comes the Billy Jack. You know, and they can get all mad and they can do something and threaten you and all that kind of stuff. But by then, we don't do anything unless we already know we won before we started. I want you to think back during all the militia craze back in the mid-early 90s. And they manufacture this stuff. This stuff doesn't really exist the way they want to portray it. You got one guy that always runs around with his 45 on strapped to his leg wearing a camo floppy hat. And about, you know, four times out of ten, he's a FBI informant anyway, you know. Hal Turner. He's working for that this all this time, you know. He's doing it for like, you know, a lot of us sitting here going, wow, man, if he's not an informant, he should get paid for being one. And this thing is, you know, we helped Pastor Anderson on his border tasering thing and so on, and not a problem, no hesitation there. You know, we don't care. You know, just whatever. He can believe whatever he wants, but, you know, he's willing to stand up against a man on something needs to be stood up against, power to the people. But the thing is that, you know, it's if he's not getting paid, you know, for being their poster child for the hate, white, brimstone Baptist preacher and kind of go get him, you know, he should be. I mean, dang. You know, they had a bunch of people there protesting Sunday, and we tried to get them all on. Oh, yeah, Jet, turn on your microphone. Okay, this is, man, don't be moving around. So this is what happened. Stephen Lemons is a writer for the local, you know, New Times progressive rag, you know, Phoenix thing. And it's a weekly publication, but he has like a daily blog or something, I guess he keeps up on, right? So in there, you know, we said he was hammered, and he's totally inaccurate. I mean, it's a high school gossip column. I mean, he just throws out all kinds of stuff. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't care. Now, there's no repercussions, you know, other than maybe comments on it. Nobody, you know, cares. You know, he's just a gossip columnist. So what happens is that he's going on about, yeah, where's Freedom's Phoenix? They should be down. I thought they'd be in front row of the pews, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, please, man. So Jet, you know, calls him out. What'd you say?
Well, I said that nearest I could tell, I never went to his church, but nearest I can tell after what you said, that I don't think that you or Powell were a member of that church, just on what you've said on religion.
Well, you called him out. Let's get
absolutely
on the show. And we invited him, and he's like, well, no, they didn't call. Oh, no way. Well, last night, he put his number on this thing. I called him. Let's do it. Get you on, man. Rock and roll, waiting on you now.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down. When the man comes around.
Oh, he's coming. Can you hear his jack boots a-stomping? You know, and a lot of times you might not. I mean, you just might not hear it. You know, in the movie Serenity, you know, it's a popular movie that I liked. And one of the lead characters goes and says, I can hear their, I'll be hearing their jack boots soon or something like that. And the other guy goes, no, you won't. They'll nestle up to you nice and quiet and smile and invite you to Starbucks coffee, and then boom. But you just can't be afraid. You know, the thing is, a lot of people, they amp up this hate and fear and kind of, you know, we got to woo, woo, woo. And I'm going, you know, that's just another sign that we're one day closer to freedom. You know, we've been looking at this stuff for 20 years. I'm going, you know, well, of course we're going to go through this phase. You know, the birth pangs of the phoenix rising from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, Freedom's Phoenix. Get it? We had that logo and art design and concept back in the mid-90s. We knew we were going to go through this. Come on. You know what the next future animation of that is? You look at the logo, you see the fire of Phoenix. It's going to, you know, imagine the animation. You know, you're going on the Statue of Liberty, the fire's kind of flickering, it's going out, and you're circling the helicopter around by the torch, and all of a sudden, the embers go up, poof, and then a little bit of smoke rises up. A little breeze hits the ashes, they swirl around a little bit, and then boom, the phoenix comes out. Ah! And then it turns into a spaceship and takes off into space. Call it the Phoenix. Yeah, it's all planned out. I'm just waiting until somebody, you know, with talent, you know, gets on it. And there always is. You know, we've been doing this a long time. Somebody will come up with it because they can, and I'll let them, and we'll have fun. But you look at gold and silver. It hit $9.95. Okay, gold, you know, jumped up $108, and somebody, I tell you what they did. They put in buy orders at $9.95. Yeah, they're going to go, where, how low is it going to go? It, of course it needs to go up. I mean, it must go up. It should go up. You know, and they're going to drive it down. But, you know, once it starts going, people are dumping. Oh, here they're coming. They're doing it. Oh, run away. But there's enough people. You know, the big bad boys, we're going to buy back in at $9.95 because they know it's going to go up. We'll make another, you know, couple hundred billion dollars because we can. You know, what up? You know, so you're just Mises, man. And they eat Mises to pieces. You're just out there playing around in their labyrinth. Now, just get, you know, just survive. All you got to do is survive this thing. That's it. You know, you don't got to, you know, everybody's all worried about, oh, I'm going to have and I got to do and accumulate and I lost my, you know, all you got to do is just keep breathing. You know, so that's where I come in. You know, hey, you know, just keep breathing. In the end, freedom always wins. You know, sometimes you just need to get out of the way of the dying dinosaur. Because I tell you, you know, you got a nice lumbering dinosaur, Brontosaurus. You know, he's out there, boom, ba-doom, 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 just stomping everything in his path, and he's getting where he wants to go, do what he wants to do. And when he starts coughing up blood, you know, he may be peaceful, and you just kind of ignore him, but don't go anywhere near his tail now. You know, it's like, oh, just let it go. You know, get your video camera, get up on the hill, but, you know, let it go because it's going. And there's nothing that can stop it. It's math, okay? It's math. And they'll try and use your emotions and, you know, trick your intellect into thinking that some, I don't know what the heck they're doing because really it's not the people. What it is these individuals, it's the power of collectivization. When you can get other people's money in big buckets, and then it just keeps going up and up and up until you got a pyramid, and there's some bureaucrat sitting there managing some fund of all the people's gazillions of dollars, and they're going to, well, what do I do with it? I'll put it over here. Do you know what they're doing with your money? Do you know where they're putting it? You know, that subprime thing you were all educated about, were you? No. You know, and then you think they're not doing it again and again and again and again and again. And get your money out. Oh, but I take a penalty and a tax this. So what? Okay? We've been saying this. I'm going, so freaking what? I tell you what. It was last, over a year ago. And it was July of 08. I said, look, I know all the arguments. I know, get it out. Now, get go, go, go. The greatest depression is nigh. Heck, that's the theme of the Freedom Summit this year. FreedomSummit.com. Dr. Paul's going to be there. Thomas Woods, Butler Schaefer, Judge Buttrick, Charles Goyette, Adam Kokesh, Boston Tea Party, Joel Skousen, you know, entertainment, Jordan Page, Mark Victor and myself will be, you know, hosting an MC and it's our thing. I'm telling you, the year ago, and for years, 8 years, we've been doing the Freedom Summit saying, here it comes. Here it freaking comes. Peter Schiff, you know, he was one of previous speakers when we did Manchester, New Hampshire, went up there in support of the Free State Project. And we say, hey, and Dr. Paul spoke at that one, too. And he spoke at another one in Phoenix. And we've already knew this. We've already known this and shared it with you and told you and say, here it comes. Just get ready. You'll be happy as heck. You'd be sitting there smiling like a clam that you just got to keep what you had. Yeah, but they promised me 11%. I can make Madoff's my buddy. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what happened to Madoff? I know some people involved in that. Got nailed. $180 million gone. Okay, but it's even better than that. What happens is that there was some kind of a commission thing that was going on. Like if you brought somebody in, they go, yeah, yeah, we're making all kinds of bank, man. Woo, bring it on the money. So they bring it in, and then there was a commission, a cut that went to some of the other people that were in. So what happens when this thing went and it's a fraud and it's all gone and everything, not only do they come after you lose the money that you had, they come after the people for money that other people lost because you got commission on it. You could be negative, you know, $200 million. And you just told a friend, a family member, someone you love to come in. They're going to help you out. But we got a long segment coming up here. And I promise. I'll tell you all about my little activism thing and what's coming. I just need a longer segment. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
In the saddle again here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Weekdays, Monday through Friday. That's what that means, weekdays. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. from Phoenix, Arizona here at freedomsphoenix.com studios. And I want to share something with you so you understand. Okay? Oh, yeah, let's refresh it. Let's see what gold's doing here. Just for grins and giggles, it's 97.8. Ooh, nice little spike there. You know, it's so predictable. These guys are killing me. Now, what happens is if you understand what's coming? I mean, if you know, I mean, you know, it's math, you know, here it comes, you know, and they'll do whatever. I mean, they'll create entire television networks to BS you because they have to. See, that's what is so, you know, from our perspective, why we know we're winning. It's how much they have to spend in public education and propaganda and networks and newspapers and television and radio and blah, 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 and magazines. I mean, oh, that's another thing. I went on my vacation. I go to the airport, okay? Now, think about this. You go to the airport, and what do you got to do, all right? Especially on the airplane. You know, you can't, you know, no electronic devices, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the internet doesn't work yet. I mean, pretty soon they'll be having that. But, you know, you get on, and there's, you know, limited things to do. So that's when I know I got, you know, 3 to 5 hours or whatever, that, and travel time both, I got, you know, probably 6 to 10 hours of, you know, reading magazines, you know, because my wife always sleeps. So then I go, okay, let's go to Borders Bookstore. Let's go to. I bought Thomas Wood's Meltdown. That was a very good. It's like reading kind of a Ron Paul thing. Very simple language. Give you, you know, here it comes. You know, so the Mises Institute, Austrian economics, free market, laissez-faire capitalism kind of thing. And I gave that to somebody, you know, high up in finance that wasn't. So, you know, it'll probably hurt. So what happens is you go to the magazine rack. And it's Newsweek and Time and Cosmo and People and whatever, you know. Then you got some of the science magazine. I used to like Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, but you know, they're Hearst now, you know, and whatever Time Warner's got, you know, their hands all over the place and so on. It's just conglomerates that have expanded into, you know, CNN is, you know, Time Warner, and then you have all these different media outlets have so many tentacles into your brain, into your mind. And there's a common theme. This is the message. You think something you read in Time magazine is going to be fundamentally different from what you saw on CNN or Fox? They try and act like, well, Fox is different. It'll have an R on the healthcare bucket. We need an R on the healthcare bucket. And I'm going, wow, seriously? I mean, you guys are so, you know, please, you know, just, you know, wake up a little bit, you know, rub the sleep out of your eyes just a little bit, you know, oh, flutter one eye. Come on, you can do it. Now, what we want to make sure that you understand from our perspective, I'm not looking for you to agree with me. Now, oh, yeah, Ernie said, you know, I just get automaton. You might as well be a ditto head. You know, it's a difference between free thinkers and ditto heads, you know. You know, sorry, I keep hitting the mic. Ditto heads and free thinkers. Oh, yeah, yeah, what you said. What do you say? I don't know, whatever you said. That's what I say. You know, bullet points. And you can go to these things, you have conversations with people. That's how they go. They just repeat what they're told. And you can even give them the information where to go, what to say and everything. Now, you don't know. A friend of mine, you know, made it clear to me. I go, I don't understand it. I mean, these guys should be smarter. They should know better. And he goes, Ernie, you do the same thing. I go, really? He goes, yeah. If you see a headline article in the front page of the newspaper that says, why government works better than the free market, how much are you reading of that? Yeah, probably not that much. Now I go to the first page. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. Boom. You know, they're, you know. So he goes, the other guys do the same thing. You know, the power of free markets. They don't even want to look at it. They don't think that way. It's all us versus them thing. They got their truth. And why I knew this is this question really started popping up is the back of my business card. It has, you know, Freedom's Phoenix and stuff on the front. On the back, it has the Revolution logo and then that Molotov cocktail throwing guy that's throwing a bouquet of flowers. And that's the logo of how the revolution is known in Europe. That's where I got that from, in France and Germany and so on. You know, the revolution went around the world on this thing. You know, there's different logos all over the place. And I really like the one they had in Europe because they're always got Molotov cocktail throwing guys with handkerchiefs over their face and stuff. And, you know, so in France and everything and blah, 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 blah. But I go, that's cool. He's throwing flowers. And I go, yeah, that's along with the revolution. I get it, man. Cool. So we put that on there. And the slogan says, Revolution, the guy's there, we know the truth. Oh, is that a subjective thing? Is there a truth? Can there be truth? Truth is perspective, you know. And so you go, yeah, you know, there's an argument made for that. But you know what? You know, I had my truth and then reality intervened. You know, reality is truth. I mean, there's a truth out there. I mean, you know, stuff's wet or not. I mean, you know, things are, you know, dry or not. Things are good or bad. You determine what the difference between good and bad is. You know, if I had Obama sitting next to me, our definition of good and bad would be two totally different things. What's mine? Well, you know, it's very simple to me is that I just want to be left alone. Those won't leave me alone are bad. Well, how do you know? Because they won't leave me alone. Yeah, but they love you. They want to take your money and steal your children and go and do and fight and kill in your name because it's better for you or something. And I go, you know, that's their opinion. And I go, am I allowed my opinion? Can I have an opinion that I just want to be left alone? No, then they're bad. See how easy it is? It's not that hard. So when you come up with something, well, people ought to, oh, really, you're ought to, what they should do, and you want to wear the ring of power and control the lever and make people do whatever, well, you're a bad guy. You know, it's just, that's you're going down a dark path. That's for damn Skippy. Okay? So you're a young man, you're in your 20s, you know, a lot of these guys are around here, you know, and we're friends with them. Heck, people of my kids' age, we go to movies. Yesterday we went and saw Gamer. I want to go see it. So one of the young guys want to go see it. Let's go see it. Cool. His wife stayed with Donna and helped, you know, play with the grandbaby. My kids took their first trip, you know, and then the traffic coming from northern Arizona back down was so much they just stayed overnight. I said, take advantage of it. Hell, now's the time, because, man, and the baby was good, so it's all good. So if you know this for years, decades, and you have a philosophy that surrounds it, and you can see the signs, and you understand, and here it comes, what do you do? Do you go up against the man? Do you challenge? You draw your sword on the king's men? Oh, you do that, man. You're going down. You know, I don't care how justified you are. That don't matter. I don't care. So this is how we would take this battle. Okay, it's a philosophical thing. Even though I did not own a firearm, I understood how important it was. It's a Vulcan mind meld, as my friend L. Neil Smith would say. It is a Vulcan mind meld into the perceptions and the desires and the real intent of the man. You have a government official, the guys with shiny badges, and they say, we want to take away the people's ability to defend themselves against us in the name of fill in the blank. You know, I mean, they'll use whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. But the founders in the Declaration of Independence, you know, they understood what they were up against. And then when they did this Constitution thing, you know, collectivized power and all that kind of stuff, the libertarians of the day, the anti-federalists, the Declaration of Independence people, they said, oh, no, 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 no. We need to put a limit on, you know, there's all kinds of things the government shouldn't be doing. You give them the power, the power, the power, the power of eminent domain, the power of interstate commerce, and the power to tax and tariff and this and the power and all these powers. You know, we're the people powers. You know, where'd that happen? Okay, shut up. Patrick Henry freaking out about it and so on. As governor of Virginia, 4 hours he's talking to the legislature, don't ratify this thing. Here comes the Bill of Rights. Okay, here's just shut you up. We want our central government, and we'll sign whatever piece of paper you want to get it, and they got it, and now you just don't care about Bill of Rights anymore, so here we are. But the concept was, you want to protect that First Amendment thing? You need the Second Amendment. Now, you know, should they have made the Second the first one? Nah, probably not. Now, you know, the First is the one, that's a real power, and the Second's just there to protect the First. You know, so then they start taking down the First, though. Yeah, here it comes. Oh, we have a story up. Australia, they turned off civilian internet in Australia for an hour. Just turned it off. People, they went, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, you go to government sites, they were all working. So you want to get your information. What happened? What happened? Something blew up. You're going to have to go to the government's version. You know, get ready. Here it comes. Start building your networks. You know, get people that are there. You might even get to learn their phone number. Maybe memorize it. I kind of forgot that part a long time ago. I just got buttons I push. But so what happens in important ones? So what happens is that you want to get into this mind. You want to get people to understand what they're dealing with. And the gun issue, I understood it to be the Vulcan mind meld, because it's about power and control. That's what the gun rights issue represents. It's not about, you know, my penis isn't large enough. You know, it's not about, you know, I'm insecure. I mean, there's people like that. I mean, you got poster children for freaking everything. You know, they can always pull somebody out. And heck, Jet, you know, being a big bald guy, man, they want you in the front of a cereal box. So, you know, the thing is that I understood it. So what we did, and there's a lot of things that we did, but there was one thing. It started off, there was an older gentleman that was a contractor, builds churches, as a matter of fact, and he went to the park. And as he's in the park near the end of the day with his two young grandchildren, he has his – I think he had a 45 on his hip, or a 9 or something. He usually carries a 45. So he's, you know, grandpa, cowboy hat, you know, and he's a professional guy, and he's just out there, and he was a Marine, you know, and he's just, you know, hanging there with his kids. The officer's walking by, sees him with a gun, says, hey, you got to put that back in your car. You can't have it here. You know, shame on you. And he's like, really? I mean, you know, yep. And then he puts it in his car and the policeman leaves. It starts, the sun goes down. Here come all the bangers. You know, all these gangs in there playing basketball. And he's seeing, you know, a bunch of them got guns. Heck, they're playing with 38s in their waistband or something. And he goes, oh, heck no. Now, this was 1994. He comes to me and he says, Ernie, he goes, I can't believe this is wrong. I got to, you know, we got to change the law. I go, you don't need to change the law. The law already says. It says what they are lying to you in the signs at the park, and what the officer probably doesn't know, is that it says no discharge of firearms. It doesn't say no firearms. It just says you can't go start doing target practice on the 55-gallon, you know, waste drum at the park in the middle of the city. You know, you might put holes in it. You know, they don't want holes in it. So I go, you know, it's just discharge of firearms. Of course you can protect yourself. So it's Arizona, man. So he's like, really? So we did a thing. We go, take your gun for a walk in the park. And this is one of the, you know, I meet with Al Ramirez this afternoon again. He was one of the officers that came and talked, oh, please don't do this. And I go, no, man, you guys had your chance to change the sign. We did it today. We just went out there and changed it. And they covered over the ordinance because it said no firearms allowed in the park, ordinance number, blah, blah, blah. But that was not what the ordinance said. It was a lie. So Parks and Rec put this permanent tape over it. And my wife, I called her. I said, go look and check the park by our house. Yep. And then they got, you know, tape over it. You know, they had them all done. And I go, okay, but so is this policy, is law? What if I bring it anyway? Then what? I go, well, you know, I said, you guys had your chance, man. Now, these guys, they're not taking off the prohibition. They're still making people less safe. They're lying. Regardless, they're lying. They're liars. You know, people in bureaucracies, that the people that are trained, that are hired to run your governments are philosophically socialist. Big time. They are like, you know, they think that you're lucky you get as much money you get to keep as you do. Now, they're doing whatever for you, and they love you, and damn it, you know, you get more money. And the limit is unlimited. That's just the way, and they need to control you, and we're going to economically and socially engineer you to, you know, because we can. So they meet with us like the day before we're supposed to go to Encanto Park. It's a big old Central Park, and such. It's like Central Park of Phoenix, okay? So we're going down and we're saying, look, we're putting all these flyers at gun ranges and at gun stores and so on. Take your gun for a walk day in the park. And it's not organized. Yeah, I'm going, and, you know, 50 billion of my closest friends now. Because they always want the guy in charge. Who's in charge? There's nobody in charge. Who's the guy with the microphone? There's no microphone. Who's the one that lists the speakers and introducing an MC? And there isn't. You know, I know better, because that's what you got to get a permit. You know, it was a permit to go to the park. If you do it as a group, I'm no permit. So we just go. So there's 60, 70 people there with their kids throwing frisbees, and we're all wearing firearms. What happened was the Phoenix police had 8 guys there, and they were on the perimeter. They were just there to protect our rights, just like, you know, this Obama thing, because they knew that what the law was, and we wanted to challenge it. We're like, look, you guys are lying. That was when I got my first gun. We set all this up. I have Second Amendments for everyone. We're doing the concealed carry initiative, and I didn't own a firearm. One of my friends goes, he gave me a cheapy 918 Makarov. Here, you're killing me, man. You're embarrassing to be around. You need to have a gun. Because I couldn't afford it. I was poor. So he gave me. I'm like, cool, man. Thanks. Right on. So that became my protest gun. Plus, you know, it was free, and they were like $110 back then, so somebody takes it, you know, woohoo. But we did that. There was another case that we did, and, man, we spent all kinds of money to get our $110 gun back. But that's just the way it is. So what happened was, is that, you know, big press, and it's a, you know, long story how that went out. But the bottom line was, yes, we were legal. They protected our right to do that. This is what the law is. You know, get used to it. Then there was, soon following after that, there was an event where a friend of mine, his wife was traveling up from Tucson, and it's pretty barren. I mean, that's just open desert there. And there's a rest stop about halfway called Sacaton Rest Stop, I think it is, north of Casa Grande. So she pulls in. It's 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 in the morning. It's the middle of the night. She pulls in, and it says you have to keep your firearms in your car. You can't go. there are some kind of shady characters walking around, you know, and she's an attractive woman, got to go to the bathroom. She's going to walk in the women's room, put her panties around her ankles and sit in the stall. And the guy's going to open the stall with a piece of rope, knife, or gun and say, you're mine, and he's right. But it's legal. You know, she's legal. She's dead, but she's legal, you know. So I'm going, she says, no, 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 no. So she leaves, goes down the middle of the desert, finds a bush, you know, side of the road, plops down, goes to the bathroom. She had to go. So we hear this story and we go, you know, it's the same thing applies. It's not illegal to have it. They're lying to you. So we made a big deal out of it and get the governor, you need to change this and be honest with the people. And then, of course, they start looking at stats and you see all the crime at rest stops. All of a sudden, a lot of people start finding, oh, my goodness, you go to a rest stop after 10 o'clock at night, man, you might as well just, you know, slit your wrist. You know? So it was, they could see that you were less safe. That this they didn't, but they sure as heck didn't want to, you know, say this. So we go down to the rest stop. Now, of course, here we go. It's the weekend right before legislative session opened in the beginning of January. So and this is back in the 90s. So we go down there. Again, there's 50-plus people. We're, you know, I have the grills there. We're making, you know, hot chocolate, and it's kind of chilly. And all. And we have the Department of Public Safety officers, three of them there, supervisors and so on, kind of being standoffish. But the rural guy, one guy's from the state, you know, the Capitol building. You know, he's kind of the state guy. Then you have the regional guy. The regional guy's like, what up, man? Who cares? You know, can I have some of that hot chocolate? You know, like, yeah, word. You know, after a while, then we're all buds and everything. But what happened was all the press had to come from Tucson and Phoenix. They're there. Oh, do you believe that? You know, yes, we do. And then you tell them the spiel. You know, yeah, you know, it's why you want to disarm my wife and my daughter, my mother. I mean, well, why? You know, the stats don't prove it out. What are you, just phobic? I mean, what is the problem here? So then immediately that next week, governor comes on radio and, oh, we changed all the signs. Oh, ever so sorry. Now, that's after months and months and months, maybe a year of us hammering on. You got to do this kind of stuff. They changed the ad, changed the sign. So sorry. Because they knew when the winter visitors were leaving in March or April, what we were going to do is all of the main rest stops going outside of the valley, we're going to be there handing out pamphlets to all the RVers, man. Bring your guns. It's legal. Just because we can. Well, that built up into some other things that's coming up to today. I'm going to explain it to you when we come back. You'll understand the logic. Free your mind. Be hailed here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. I don't know. What are you fighting for? I just want to be left alone. They call that freedom. I think it's good start. You know, you leave me alone. You know, am I free? So we're just like, you know, can you just be free without, you know, they can be jackbooting all around you and you can still be free. It's really just a perspective, attitude between the ears. You know, I tell you what's going to happen. They, I am of the opinion that this whole thing is going to come crashing around the ears of government and the people that support it and everything, just simply because the productive people refuse to produce for them. To the point they just stop. You know, hey, what if I just took a day off? Oh, there was an old SNL skit they did a decade ago or something. Or the kid, you know, they're doing a skit sitting around the breakfast table, and the boy goes, oh, I don't feel like I'm going to school today, Dad. And the dad goes, well, what if everybody just stayed home? What if I'm going to stay home? And he calls in, yeah, my son doesn't want to go to work, so I'm just going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to stay home. Tells his boss. Oh, and then the headlines spin in, you know, the whole world stays home. You know, everything comes to a crash because little Johnny wouldn't go to school, you know. And I'm going, yeah, that's what's coming. You know, if you're punishing everybody for going to work, well, they stop working. You know, I mean, what'd you think was going to happen? So anyway, to finish the story, you know, the gun rights thing was never really about guns. It's about power, you know, and who has it. That was the reason why they had the Second Amendment anyway. So everybody thinks that, you know, I'm running around with a gun all the time. Well, probably more than you think, and you get to guess when. So, but the thing is that I'm going, you know, I don't really feel that threatened. I mean, as much stuff as I my home address is on the front page of freedomsphoenix.com. You go to the center of the page, down to the bottom, and everybody goes, Ernie, I can't believe you have your home, your cell number, and your home address on there for decades. You're just, what the heck, are you stupid? And I go, you know, can I advocate some of the good guys know where I live? Oh, the bad guys know where I live. Why wouldn't I want the good guys know where I live? So it's just not that big a deal. Some people will go dress or something, or having a meeting or something. They show up at my house. Hey, I thought there was a, you know, where's your demo? No, this is our house. Wow, you put his home address here? I can't believe it. Yeah, welcome. How you doing? Want some coffee? I mean, you know, I just don't care. You know, of course, you better be a friend. You know, that would be better. So what happens is we're wanting to free minds. And this gun issue is the Vulcan mind meld into the man. So then after that, there was a gentleman, his name was Ken Rainier, and he was an engineer or something, a large company, you know, making a good living, and he's always a big Second Amendment guy. And he decided that he wanted to do the same thing in Tucson that we did in Encanto Park. Now, this is one thing, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand. You know, when I do something, I already know what the risk is. I already know you got to be careful. Mark and I worked together. He's a criminal defense attorney, my partner on the Freedom Summit, and smart guy, and we've seen it all, man. You know, you don't try murder cases and, you know, all this stuff without seeing how the government works. I mean, if it can help them, it's admitted. If it can help you as defense, it's denied. I mean, that's just the way it works. So what happened is we decide that we're going to use this as an issue. Ken Rainier comes up and he says, Ernie, and he was a gun group out of Tucson. I call it FACT, Firearm Action Committee Tucson or something. And they were putting up billboards at the time that said, those in favor of gun control, raise your hand, and have Hitler and stuff, you know, his hand up. So the JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. They're the only real hardcore, no compromise guy. We're not getting on the cattle cars kind of people, all right? So you think the Jewish community is against guns. Well, not this guy. Aaron Zellman, man. He's like, oh, we ain't getting on the cattle car this time. Hey. Heck no. So what we did is, we got to wait till after the break. I'm going to tell you all about it. And because what Ken Rainier down there tried to duplicate it and things went a totally different direction, but we have another opportunity to use that political judo against the man. Tell you all about it when we come back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.